Even as he drew back a few inches into his hole, his future was settled for him. Above his head, there was a single huge splash, and two Negroes, naked except for the glass masks over their faces, were onto him, long daggers held like lances in their left hands. Before his hand reached the knife at his belt, they had seized both his arms and were hauling him to the surface. Hopelessly, helplessly, Bond let himself be manhandled out of the pool onto flat sand. He was pulled to his feet, and the zips of his rubber suit were torn open. His helmet was snatched off his head and his holster from his shoulder, and suddenly he was standing among the debris of his black skin like a flayed snake, naked except for his brief swimming trunks. Blood oozed down from the jagged hole in his left shoulder. When his helmet came off, Bond was almost deafened by the shattering boom and stutter of the drums. The noise was in him and all around him. The hastening, syncopated rhythm galloped and throbbed in his blood. It seemed enough to wake all Jamaica. Bond grimaced and clenched his senses against the buffeting tempest of noise. Then his guards turned him round, and he was faced with a scene so extraordinary that the sound of the drums receded and all his consciousness was focused through his eyes. In the foreground, at a green baize card table littered with papers, in a folding chair, sat Mr. Big, a pen in his hand, looking incuriously at him. A Mr. Big in a well-cut fawn tropical suit, with a white shirt and black knitted silk tie. His broad chin rested on his left hand, and he looked up at Bond as if he had been disturbed in his office by a member of the staff asking for a raise in salary. He looked polite, but faintly bored. A few steps away from him, sinister and incongruous, the scarecrow effigy of Baron Samdi, erect on a rock, gaped at Bond from under its bowler hat.